blessing. Brother Tim here? Oh, you're so close, I couldn't see you. You know, I think of that verse, I have no greater joy to hear my children walk in truth. I know that's spiritually speaking, but I think, isn't it great when your children serve the Lord? Sorry, I swallowed a frog last night trying to get that out, but man, I think it seemed like it was family camp when the younger one played Battle of the Brains. Did she win? Do you remember that? Did you win Battle of the Brains or were you one short? Do you remember this core moment of your, you don't remember? She's just so humble about it. Yeah, it wasn't Battle of the Brains. It was Who Wants to Be a Millionaire Head. Did you win that? I think she did. I think she was one of two. Yeah, we invented a game, and the candy was the win. Who Wants to Be a Millionaire Head? And that's is a thing. Anyway, clock hadn't started yet. Don't do that. Really, I'm not saying this so we can make some money here. Honestly, when we left the road, it kind of fell off, and that's okay. But I have plenty of these. Actually, this one is online. Our son Joshua down in Florida, he's at Southside Baptist Church in Tampa with Brother Kerry Nance. He really loves it there, him and his wife and granddaughter, her name's McKenna. But anyway, he put this on all venues out there. There's a song, original song here that was written in memory of Matthew. It's called One More Voice. You know, and he's in heaven, and the preacher at the graveside said he's still with them in ministry. He's just on the rejoicing side, because every time someone comes to a point of repentance, there's rejoicing in the presence of the angel over one sinner that repents. So anyway, that song has that idea in here. You can look that one up, the Crumpton family. We have some back there. This one is the first one we made without Matthew. We have his picture in there. And there's several songs on here that were very encouraging to us. The song For My Good and For His Glory. We were just going down the road trying to make them step. And we went up to a getaway. And this song was playing. I believe it was Heartland's trio that sang it. And we just bawled and said, you know, we got to learn that. And so anyway, there's some of those. And then we want to give this one away. I didn't bring a million of them, but at least I want those that came, you know, as visitors here, each family to get one. This is the last one with Matthew on it. And the song we used to sing, I Have Not Forgotten, some of y'all remember that. It's a real blessing, that song. And by way of recording, Matthew sang this with two of his siblings, Rock of Ages. When I draw the fleeting breath, when I close my eyes in death. That's the last verse. He's singing the lead on that. And then the great hymn, It Is Well With My Soul. I may say something about that tonight. He sang that with us. And that's the last song we sang together before the casket was closed. It Is Well With My Soul. But the producer gave us several of these. And so we don't have cost in some of these. I didn't bring them, like I said, but we want to be a blessing. And then here's something else, just trying to be a help. Some of what I said last night was on this. My son, oldest son, Andrew, wrote this. And it's Bearing Others' Griefs is what he entitled it. And really it's some practical do's and don'ts based on his experiences. And it was several years before he did this, but Brother Mason has this on an email, if you'd like to get it like that, or I have a hard copy here, I'm going to give this to Brother Teeter. And really, it's like last night, you don't know what to say, you don't know how to encourage. Here's a little bit of help on that. It's an easy little read, and so anyhow, that's going on. No time yet. Okay, still working on. Don't turn to this verse. I'm just trying to finish from last night. Strategic, isn't it? I started into it. He was touched, the Lord. He's our high priest and knows about our infirmities. And just to keep the thought going, What all's involved with that? We know he was tempted like as we are. He was without sin. He knew no sin, but he became sin for us. He's acquainted with grief, but because of that, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to what? Help. To help in time of need. And it may be wrenching right now. It may be fresh with you. I don't know who else in this crowd, but you need him. God made everything. We talked about that a little last night. And so he knows how to help. He understands what we're made of. He made us right. And so there's some help there. All right. So I kind of saved this for this morning. So yesterday evening I was trying to clean my glasses. And some of you remember when I came to the youth meeting, I had two pair of glasses taped together. And I found out I was type 2 diabetic. I didn't know what was going on. But it finally got to one pair of glasses, a little prescription there, but it toned down. So last night I was cleaning my glasses. Of course, you take them off, and then everything's a little blurred, right? And so I sprayed my glasses. It hit me in the eyeball. So my eyes have been very clean since last night. Yeah, always feel, if you can't, just feel the little thing there and make sure it's pointed to your glasses. It's trying to be a help. Job chapter 42. Now it's official. Job chapter 42. We'll read one verse here, and we're going to do quite a bit of this text, chapter 42. And let's look at verse 10. Job, the last chapter of Job, right before Psalms, chapter 42, verse 10. And the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. Also, the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. And one more verse here, verse 13. He had also 7 sons and 3 daughters. Here's the title of this morning's message. You can have joy again. You can have joy again. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you that, Lord, you gave us a whole book about rejoicing and joy there in Philippians. It says to rejoice in you always. And again, I say rejoice. And Lord, we have peace in our heart that passes all understanding as believers. Lord, sometimes we hit a bump in the road. And then sorrow comes. An undefinable sorrow. Yet still, Lord, we can have joy again. Lord, thank you so much for the example your Holy Spirit gave by inspiration in the life of Job. And Lord, we can say in our heart, it is well with our soul. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. Be seated. You know, if you read the book of Job with a little perspective and try to consider his loss as you're reading, especially if you've experienced, and I'm careful with that word loss, but how else do I say it? You will see the waves come, and there's some stages, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time with that, but if I can encourage, the waves do slow down, and over time, they don't come as frequent. When you sense it coming, and I feel like, I don't know why, and I'm trying not to set myself up for this, but this coming January will be the point of 15 years. And he will have been gone as long as we had him. And I feel like this is a, I don't know, how do you describe it, right? It's an hard to describe date. But I've noticed that if we plan a little busy, then, you know, it seems to help. You know, you don't want to sit in a corner on that particular moment or that date and just cry all day. I don't think we see that plan for us in the Word of God. Job, wow, indescribable struggle that he had. But again, there is help. Come boldly to the throne of grace. We have some promises. Jesus said, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. That has to mean something. God will help with comfort. And so, you know, you think of some things, and I may get ahead of myself here a little bit, but some of you didn't know this, but our youngest son, Caleb, was born on the same date as his sibling, Matthew. He was also born on January 15th, 3 years later. And he was sitting there, and that particular day, we had already had birthday cake, and for as long as Caleb was born, we had two sides of the cake. And so Caleb was 12 that day. And when he's 13, he said, he just, you could tell it hit him. I saw his face. He goes, Dad, my birthday's never going to be the same. And I said, Caleb, you're right. And I don't know how we'll do the future. I don't know how we'll, you know, because the first year we took balloons out to the casket and hung it on the flower vase there, but I told him this. I said, here's something we can do, is we can make your next birthday better than it's ever been. And we'll do our best to do that. And so you just figure out some things. It changes your life in ways you'd never thought. Again, it's supposed to happen to everybody else. That's the story you hear, but then it happens to you. And so, but there is joy. So I think of Matthew's salvation testimony, which always encourages, right? So we were in Abilene, Texas, and I did a message I'd done many times. I've done it in this church many times. As a matter of fact, Matthew sang right here on this platform many times. And, man, I think about when the B2 started rumbling, our homeschooling kids would run out and watch those planes, and you know, we were here even before the fence was out. They were younger, but anyway. So he came to me bawling. I had just preached the message, Two Roads, Matthew chapter 7, the narrow way and the broad way, and used that message many times. Many have been saved all around the world from Jesus' message. And anyway, he came to me and said, Dad, I'm on the broad road. I'm not on the narrow road. Just bawling. He was almost 6 years old. So I was able to lead him to the Lord that day in Abilene, Texas. We got home a couple weeks later, and he walked up to me with his toy. It was a Superman action figure, a little small one. Well, we don't promote that kind of thing in our family, so I knew it wasn't his. He was just crying. Just crying, he said. And he said, Dad, I said, where'd you get that? He said, I stole it from my cousin. He was just weeping. I said, well, you know what to do. I'm going to give it back to him, tell him I'm sorry. So I didn't whip him for stealing. I think the Lord had already whooped up on him enough. But you have those, and again, you have some joy through the tears. And so, again, it comes to how does your family get through this? The Lord opened some doors in my life, and it really gave me some therapy. If something else may happen to you, or you look for something. So I became, after I became pastor, our church started into jail ministry. Very burdened for that, and some of it was because of my son-in-law, who's saved, 4 grandkids. God changed his life, and I'm excited. He has a past, a record. He went to Calvary in Eufaula for a time. As a matter of fact, I heard the judge say, "I sentence you to Calvary." I'm like, what a great name for a track, right? I sentence you to Calvary. And but since that time, his record's expunged. This past year, he's not able, still don't have a gun yet. He's able to vote, but he got his first deer by a crossbow. And so he's pretty excited about getting his first deer, but he could be on the table. He may be getting a pardon soon. I'm not trying to get ahead of the Lord, but there's a possibility. We'll see. And so it's pretty exciting. And where was I going with that? Being a chaplain, you know, he was there first, and we got into being an official chaplain for the Cleveland County, Arkansas Sheriff's Office. And then the sheriff said, "Hey, you know, you might could get some more open doors." He's very much for all this, and said, "You know, why don't you go ahead and do the reserve training, and you can, be a police chaplain, get involved, open doors with the deputies and things." And I said, "Okay, so I don't mind saying it. I'm a deputy. It's all volunteer, but I got tased and peppered to be able to say that, so I don't mind. I'm qualified." And so went through that. That's crazy. That's the sense of that is, well, let's let you get shot with a bullet and see how that feels so you can be trained with a gun. I don't know, quite understand their logic, but anyway, man, okay, let's move on. Enough of that. So let's, I'll tell you more about that in just a minute. But God will help you. He'll give you some ways to have joy again. So Job here, he answered the Lord in chapter 42 and verse 2. He said, "I know that thou canst do everything." Seemed like he learned some lessons. You know, he kind of got put in a very serious corner. I don't know how to describe what he went through. But he realized that no thought can be withholden from the Lord. He got some help. He got some help. And so that result, verse 16, "Wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes." He got some things worked out in his life. You say, "Man, why did he even need it? It seemed like God wasn't fair to him. Do we need to visit that again?" He was very fair, and the Lord helped him. Verse 7, "And it was so that after the Lord had spoken these words unto Job, the Lord said unto Eliphaz," oh yeah, the friend there, and the two friends, "against thy two friends, for ye have not spoken of me the thing that is right, as my servant Job hath." It's very tricky to preach through the book of Job, because yes, they said some things that are true, but maybe they didn't fit really Job. Okay, and you have to keep that thought in mind as you go through the book. But when God says you didn't say something that was right, it's probably right, don't you think so? And so he said, "I want you to take 7 bullocks. I want you to do an offering, lest I deal with you after your folly, in that ye have not spoken of me the things which is right, like my servant Job." So, now I got to hand it to these guys. They didn't go, "Well, God, we were just trying to help." No. They did according as the Lord commanded them, and the Lord also accepted Job. So, hey, let's get some numbers here. Number one, and we talked about it, Job recognized God's hand. He recognized God's hand. And it's hard when it's muddled, when it's cloudy, okay? But when we say, "Man, it's just hard," keep it in perspective. The way of transgressors is hard. Okay, I'll take what God calls hard. I mean, if that's all right. But if it's transgressor, okay, we brought it maybe on ourselves. And obviously, Job had to work out some things. But he did realize that when he went through all this, he would go through the test and come forth as gold. Isn't that part of the text? Come forth as gold. He realized, "When I'm tried, purified," as the song used the idea, "I shall come forth as gold." And Job understood that, but he saw God's hand. If there's anything that we made sure with our other kids, we helped them see God is doing special things for us. And I could tell you story after story And I'm going to tell you one quick one here. We got opportunity to hunt hogs in South Georgia in pecan orchards. And this while Matthew was alive. And I'm doing this for a reason in a minute. But so it was going to be a night hunt. And we hunted with these night vision scopes, okay? The guns were worth about $1,000 each. The scopes were worth $10,000 each. Night vision scopes. You could see a mouse running by in the middle of the night. I mean, it was amazing. And so they hung one of them rifles on Joshua. They hung one on Matthew. And I said, guys, you first of all, you realize how much people pay for this kind of hunt? And we're getting to do it. You better be careful with those guns. And so here we go. We're set up on them. The guide's there. Everything's going right. 3, 2, 1, bam. And you could see hog fireworks. It looked like, how sweet it is. Man. And so after that, I told the kids, I said, look, you realize what God did for us? God bless us. We got to do some of the best homeschool field trips. I mean, Grand Canyon, Niagara Falls. We got to do some really neat stuff that these unsheltered kids, you know, how they're going so well. We sheltered our kids. Thank God for that. Train up a child in the way he should go. When he is old, he'll be out from that shelter, but it's okay. But help your kids see, hey, God's helping our family. The kids are not getting the fear of God. The next generation, why are we losing them? They're not getting the fear of God. They're not realizing the blessings of God. Anyway, he saw the hand of God, and Job got help. And then the friends got some help, finally. The friends got some help. Would you say God helped them? Yeah. Guys, here, do the sacrifice. You didn't say it right. Yes, Lord. They got some help. So be patient with those that don't quite get it, okay? You know, I think in church, unity, forbearing one another is a thing. Isn't that a thing? Isn't that a Bible? Forbearing one another. All at once you be talking, man, this family's been going through this for years. They ought to get over that. Wait a minute, forbear a little bit. You don't know what it's like. And then those that have maybe said the wrong thing, can you believe that you go home? Can you believe he said that? They don't get it. I confess, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. They got some help. In verse 10, Job learned some unselfish praying. When he prayed for his friends. How about that? Isn't there something about pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake? Rejoice! I think it's a thing. Jesus said that. The Beatitudes, yeah. Unselfish praying. All this happened, you know, here's that sacrifice, and here's Job over here. The three friends are doing that sacrifice, and they're just like, oh, man, we messed up, you know. And Job's like, ha, ha, ha. Yeah. And now it's come to thee. Oh, yeah, now look at you guys. He didn't do that. He didn't do that. He prayed unselfishly for his friends. You can crawl in a corner and say, nobody gets it, nobody understands. It's not true. It's not true. And even if it is, you can go to God. You can't get bitter. You know, sometimes we pray wrong. We ask amiss. Isn't that a thing? We ask amiss that we may consume it upon our own lust. Job didn't rub it in and go, I told you guys so. See, I tried to tell you, you miserable comforters. Now, he had the moment then. he had the feeling then. Miserable comforters are you all. He had that thing then. But God fixed it. God fixed it. The prayer of vengeance is praying amiss, okay? Who does vengeance belong to? Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Don't you think he knows how to do that? If it needs to be done, Deuteronomy 32:35, to me belongeth vengeance and recompense. Their foot shall slide in due time, for the day of their calamity is hand. Hey, don't just try, man. If they could just get it. What are you trying to hope for? They'll lose a kid too. Bitterness can happen. I get that. Let's all break glass together. Remember that last night? No. The Bible says when you deal with that vengeance, let him have it. Romans chapter 12. We won't turn there. You heap coals of fire on the neighbor's head. Now some people have missed that. They're like, I want to burn. I'm going to fry their head. Get them back. God, zot them. That's the point of the coals on the head, and I got some good understanding from our missionary in Ghana. You know, matches are a little hard to come by sometimes in third world countries. And so the fire goes out. There's a little thing, and they carry a lot of stuff on their heads. I've seen it 3 or 4 feet high on a mission trip, carrying stuff on their head. They go over to the neighbor. They have his little pan, and they heap some coals of fire on it, and they be a blessing to the neighbor. Love thy neighbor. I think that was mentioned here. Wasn't that said? As thyself. You see, that's what it does. Overcome evil with good. What did Jesus say in Matthew 5? Love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. That's the thing. Now look at verse 11. Number 4, we found joy again. Did I say number 3? I just want to make sure in case you're outlining. He learned unselfish praying. Do you get that? He found joy again. I want to be real careful with this because I noticed part of your thing is keeping the innocent innocent. And through the years, I've preached some sensitive subjects to juniors, but the Lord helped. We just want to keep it simple. Be simple concerning evil. It's a thing. My wife and I were in undescribable grief. Okay? And there's something that happens that you almost feel unfair to have joy again. It almost feels wrong. For you to enjoy your marriage, to smile, to laugh. It sometimes feel like I don't feel like I can laugh here. I don't feel like I can enjoy God's marriage here. Are we connecting enough where you see what I'm saying? I can't tell you everything. I'm not going to do that, but there were blessings that came that I can't even describe. I mentioned about how God took care of the funeral and the headstone, and God blessed us. And when you get extra offerings, there was things to take care of, yes, but we're like, what do we do with this? We bought some solar-powered Bibles, just a little thing. There's no words on it, just buttons. And the whole Bible is on this thing. Several different languages, and I'll just say this carefully. We were able to send some of those in memory to a closed country. They got smuggled in. There's no telling what'll happen. Because the missionary said, well, yeah, if they get caught, they can just throw in a bucket. No one will even know what it is. We gave them to some blind people. You don't have to know what's there. You just push the button. I get some joy from that thought because one day in heaven, we get to find out where all that went. Just things like that. But Job got all these blessings, twice as much. You know what he had? Everything doubled, all the cattle, and I mentioned last night about I wish I were never born, right, George Bailey? But I'm in here. Everybody shows up. Merry Christmas, Bedford Falls. Everybody shows up at his house, right? And throwing money at him and all that stuff. You know the thing. Christmas movie. Man, it happened to Job here. It says it. Doesn't it say his relatives, his brethren, his sisters, all his acquaintance before. Why didn't they come sooner than this? It's all in God's hands. They ate bread with him in his house. They bemoaned. They comforted him. All the stuff. They all gave him a piece of money. They gave him an earring. They were giving his jewelry away. They gave all these blessings. And then this blessing. And they summed it up in a few words, but 7 sons and 3 daughters. That's That's a lot of joy there. Amen. I'm just trying to be careful with that. But that wife has said, curse God and die. I think she's okay. She worked through it. How many children does Job have? 20. In heaven. Yeah, he was real careful with his first children. You saw it in chapter 1. And then he has these daughters he had were the, nobody's more fair than the daughters of Job. What were their names? Jemima, Keziah, and Karen Hapuk. Maybe they called her Karen for short. I don't know. That's cultural names there. Found joy. You know, good memories do help. Don't dodge telling a memory when in conversation something reminds you about Matthew. Go ahead and tell the story. Just go ahead and say, you remember Matthew, man, this happened. Go ahead and say it. Because you feel like you can't. You can. It's okay. Don't dodge it. I remember one time, Matthew, we just got a new trampoline. Man, it was not, I guess we'd had it for a little bit. And they were playing this double bounce thing. Now, the rules say, you know, you only bounce by yourself on a trampoline. What kind of fun is that? Why have that rule? I know it's for safety or whatever, but like by yourself, boing, boing, boing. That's no fun. And so they, you know how it is, they double bounce. And man, you can sense somebody soaring. We had a basketball goal on, the kid, we want to dunk, you know, so they're just slam dunking. I was out in front of the house, I was back here jumping, and I heard this scream. Now, you mom knows there's different levels of cries. You know, there's my brother's picking on me kind of cry. You ignore a lot of those. And there's just some levels, but there's the one that's high level. Matthew, I come up to him. He was screaming. His arm was moved over here. He broke. He went over the net. You know how I had that net? I thought, man, we got this net. They'll be fine. Oh, no. He cleared that net. Bam! Broke his arm. It's okay to tell the stories. You know, one day, he'll get a glorified body. We go there sometimes. Now, I know he's with the Lord right now to be absent from the body, and he has a spiritual body. But one day he'll have a glorified body. That's how I understand it. I believe you're right on that. As Baptists, we understand that. And so the dead in Christ rise first. That's Matthew. He's in that group. He's the fastest kid on the team, but we're going to catch up with him. Okay? And we'll meet the Lord in the air. Aren't you looking forward to the trumpet sound? And this thing is over. You know what? You don't have to lose weight. You'll go on up. You'll go on up. With that glorified body, it'll just be, you know, you've seen those videos where they deflate you, get you to try to buy their product. Boo. That's going to be nice. But his arm ain't broke no more. They called us on the night and said, we understand you're going to have an autopsy, and we didn't know what happened exactly, you know. And they said, but we know there's some things you can't help with, but they wanted to donate to help other people. I didn't know about this kind of call, but on the night of, and I realized things need to be soon and fresh. I get it. I said, can we wait till in the morning? Yeah, we can wait till in the morning. Give me the night. So they started asking me questions. What's wrong with him? You know. Of course, as far as physically, he's pure as the driven snow. But I'm getting questions. Does he have AIDS? Does he have STD? I'm just like, no. And I'm almost getting bitter. Why am I having to do this? I can't deal with this. And the Lord just poured in some grace and said, you know how many 15-year-olds out there that parents can't say and don't have a clear answer for all this? Matthew had not even had a girlfriend yet. And finally, I just told him, I said, look, he had acne. Because we were going to donate his skin. That's all we could do for what happened there to burn victims. Somewhere on this planet, somebody's wearing Matthew's skin. I know Matthew, if he could have said it, he would have. You can have joy again. really just about done. I'm going to give some extra time to somebody here. Let me mention this because I mentioned already. No greater joy. I thank the Lord that my four children that are still here, they're serving the Lord. I pray every day that continues. My main prayer of them growing up is that they would marry right. God answered that prayer all the way across. And I thought, you know, it's not over yet. God pray their marriages would stay good. Who else wants to get attacked besides godly couples? You know, he could bring something down on them, attack them. So I'm praying, God, help them to keep serving you. So our daughter got hit with it a few years ago. She was on the path that she could have died from this. Suddenly, she was expecting, she didn't even know it, had a tubal miscarriage. Didn't even know it. Lost one side. And she's crying. She's bawling. And I said, Sarah, I really think there's still a chance that you make it have a child. Don't give up. Trust in the Lord. Look that up. I don't think I can have one. Yeah. It's still possible. 3 months later, she came up expecting with her first one. His name's John. She had a couple other, didn't make it. And, you know, when this happens, it's kind of like when you're expecting again. You don't want to say anything until you know we're past a point. Am I connected with a few people here? We didn't experience it, but our daughter did. But we have a 2-week-old, perfect little baby right now. He'll be the last one of hers that she had four. On one side, all C-section. All I can say is, I love those kids. But one of my sons is married, happy, and doesn't have a child yet. We realize, you know, we can't let him feel like he's, you know, just because we're. I love kids, right? I don't care. I juggle the kids. We have a good time. They're jumping on my back. It's not a very even back rub, but okay, kids, y'all can walk on my back, and that's what I used to do with my own kid. Now I could got it again, you know. It's just all good. I'm just saying, Nehemiah 8:10, the joy of the Lord is your strength. So, I've volunteered for the sheriff's office, and it's kind of fun. I got one of these, and it's kind of neat. You know, to be able to, some perks with it, some nice perks. We just got a new issue gun, and it's got a red dot sight on it. It's sweet. Walther 9mm, and I get to carry it. There's some perks. I do have to do the same hours of training as a regular deputy. That's not a perk. That's kind of the cons, but just a few hours a month to turn in, and I get to go to drug court and be court security. I'm court security office. It's crazy. And so I'm there, and, you know, I can point these folks to meetings and get them some help. We had one of them so far joined our church over several months. He was saved in jail, kind of on his own, but he heard the seed and went through basic Bible truths. Amen. He went through that, and he got baptized, joined our church. Had a few hiccups. He's growing in the Lord, but he's faithful right now. From drug court. To God be the glory. So then I got a little more, you know, and I said, you know what, we have a local fire department. And I went down there and said, hey, could y'all use a chaplain? Well, I found out with the volunteer fire department, they don't matter if you have a cross on, you got to be at the scene, you know, 911, okay, we got to go. I don't have no medical training. I can drive an ambulance. I can't go to all the stuff, but I try to encourage and be there. And I'm also a chaplain with a game and fish. It's just really special. A lot of open, neat doors. But this one I got to share with you. So one of our volunteer firefighters passed away. He'd been with them for 20 years. Smart, retired guy, some engineer. You wouldn't know it talking to him, but me and him talk. He visited our church one time. His health, he couldn't get out much. But he wouldn't miss a fire scene. You know, stand. He could drive the truck and stand there. He was older. He passed away. So The family asked me to preach his funeral. And so I was reading the obituary. This is the funeral. Family's here. Our whole bunch is back there. The Pine, let me tell you the name. Pine Snag Lobo Fire Department. You love that? I live in Pine Snag, Arkansas. What's that close to? Well, it's close to Possum Grape and Oil Trough. And Pine Snag. Anyway, so I'm reading the obituary along, and it just stated on there he was a firefighter. And I kind of tripped through it and accidentally said it wrong, and then it came up again, and I tried to fix it, and I said it wrong again. And I'm not going to say it out loud, but I'm going to let you do the figures here. Instead of fighter, the blend IGH was turned into AR. Do the math. I said it twice. You don't know whether to laugh or not. I've never said that word. Firefighter. I know you want to laugh, but you can't, right? After I said it twice, one of our firefighters said, yeah, he did that too. It was just like, I said, okay, now that we're through that, and the family was crying through their tears. I can't really say the Lord was leading me right there, but it broke the ice. You don't know what to do with that. I get it. 1 Peter 4. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. Help me, let's come back. But rejoice. Inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. I want to read you something that we get joy from, but the individual that wrote this went through an incredible struggle to help us. He didn't know, probably. His name was Horatio Gates Spafford. He was born in New York in 1828. But he was in Chicago. He became well known for his Christian testimony. He and his wife, Anna, were active in their church. He was friends with D.L. Moody. They were blessed with 5 children and considerable wealth with properties. Horatio was a lawyer and owned a great deal of property in his home city. He was kind of like Job in some ways. He had 1 son and 4 daughters. When 4 years old, their son Horatio suddenly died of scarlet fever. And then a year later, the Chicago fire swept through and destroyed all his properties. 300 lost their lives. 100,000 were made homeless. He was struggling through that. A year after that, he decided to get away. And knowing his friend, D.L. Moody, was preaching in England, he was delayed. And so he sent his family ahead to England for a vacation. And his wife and 4 daughters were on the ship. 11-year-old, 9, 5, and 2. On November the 22nd, 1873, while crossing the Atlantic on the steamship, their vessel was struck by an iron sailing ship. 226 people lost their lives. The ship sank in 12 minutes. The Spaffords lost all 4 daughters. Remarkably, Anna survived the tragedy. She was found unconscious, floating on a plank of wood. She sent back a message, saved alone. when he received the message, he set off at once to be with his wife. During the voyage, the captain summoned him to the vessel and pointing out, he said, this was the place. The words began to come to Mr. Spafford, when peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my thought is well with my soul. His faith stayed strong. Statement was heard by him. On Thursday last, we passed over the spot where she went down in mid-ocean, the waters 3 miles deep. But I do not think of our dear ones there. They are safe, dear lambs. Someone heard Anna say, God gave me 4 daughters. Now they have been taken from me. Someday I will understand why. But she had a voice to tell her, you know, you were saved for a purpose. She made this statement too. You know, it's easy to be grateful and good when you have so much, but take care that you're not a fair weather friend to God. After that whole issue, tragedy, you know, Anna had 3 more children. Some of you don't know the rest of that story. She had 3 more children. But then, one of those, a son, also died at the age of 4. Happened again. They actually started a mission work in Jerusalem later. They're buried there. But what a great hymn. Let me ask you something. Do you feel like you got some help from the hymn, It Is Well With My Soul? I've gone to Men's Advance several years. There with the Hardys. Almost 1,500 men singing It Is Well With My Soul at the top of their lungs. It's a moment. It's about as close to heaven as you can think. He went through the tragedy, but kept on and had joy again. And he gave us some joy. My sin. Oh, the bliss of this glorious thought. My sin, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to his cross. And I bear it no more. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. Can we sing it? It is well with my soul. It is well. It is well. I think he was thinking about was that Old Testament where the woman had lost her son. And the first question she asked was, it as well. And you know, it may not be well on the outside in a lot of ways, and I get that. But as a saved person, it is well with my soul. With my soul. You can have joy again. Wow, 18 seconds. I got to finish. We traveled 2 more years. And I'm supposed to be the vacation Bible school guy, right? I thought about bringing Henry, you know, but this didn't seem appropriate. There's something you feel like, how can I do this? I'm telling you, Andrew was in the back of the motorhome, and we were hooking up the dolly. We towed a minivan with us. Whoever takes a minivan on the back. I was just crying. I could not keep myself together. And when sometimes it comes, you just got to cry it out. You just got to cry it out. It's okay. Blessed are they that mourn. It's okay. Andrew just said, Dad, we're going to make it. Gave me a hug. We hugged for a while. It was hard to upheave. The Lord helped. God helped me to be able to do those vacation Bible schools. And sometimes it doesn't feel right to laugh or to smile, but it is. It's okay. And sometimes it doesn't quite come out like you want it to. But Job had joy again, didn't he? So we can too. I hope that was a help to you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father.